Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. The Milwaukee County Zoo would normally be bustling with activity this time of year. But like other zoos around the world, they're closed to the public to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. There are over 2,000 animals at the zoo, and the 65 staff members taking care of them are currently the only humans allowed on the grounds. 90% of the zoo's staff are working reduced hours. Some are working remotely, and no seasonal workers have returned to their jobs yet. With utilities, animal food, and personnel as the biggest fixed costs for the zoo, the loss of revenue from being closed to the public is big. But the zoo staff is still hard at work, making sure the animals are healthy and active, whether it's creating new engagement activities or taking an iguana on a field trip to see some fish. Chuck Wickenhauser is the director of the Milwaukee County Zoo, and he joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to explain how the zoo has adapted to their current circumstances. He begins by explaining how the coronavirus has impacted their operations so far.
Right now, we project if the zoo didn't open until June 30th, for instance, we closed March 15th. So that would mean a net loss of about $3 million. If we take that all the way to the end, it's going to be about $5.5 million that we will have lost the revenue, save some expenditures, but that would be our net loss at this point.
And I imagine you rely heavily on revenue from admission and snack sales and souvenirs just in order to help keep your daily costs going.
Oh, we certainly do. We have several ways of earning revenue. You just mentioned food service, merchandise sales, our rides, some of our behind-the-scenes special experiences. And then we have a partnership with the Zoological Society. They sell memberships, their zoo pass, and we receive 50% of the proceeds from the zoo passes. So we get that, and then you throw in parking and admissions, and those are our revenue categories in general.
So typically your zoo staffers perform lots of preventative care for animals, I imagine, like routine veterinary care, vaccination, physical exams. But with social distancing making some of that impossible, you know, for example, with larger animals, you might need two people just to be there to help, but maybe can't be done while staying more than 6 feet away from each other. So how are you prioritizing what kind of animal care needs to be done during this time while you're operating with a smaller staff?
Well, we haven't sacrificed anything on the animal care side. We've provided the personal protection equipment that's needed, whether that's face masks, shields, goggles, I guess you would call them drapes or special uniforms, scrubs, and those are all provided so that we don't have to worry about working with the animals and working in close proximity with each other. It is important that we have a number of dangerous animals that we have a two-person lock policy, meaning that somebody locks an exhibit, and then there's a person right behind them who checks that lock. So it's very important that we keep working, whether it's in teams or of two or more, but we're making sure that they are very well protected. And that protection also continues over to protecting the animals themselves. With great apes and primates, we have been using face masks minimally for quite some time, because they're susceptible to some of the same diseases that humans are, especially colds and viruses like that. And on the other side, with the discovery of the passage of coronavirus to big cats at the Bronx Zoo, we have then begun providing our keepers in those particular areas or any area that has an animal that might be closely related to cats as far as disease goes. And then we would make sure that they have the right protective equipment too.
So when it comes to keeping animals healthy and engaged, obviously their normal is interacting with many visitors, hundreds throughout the day. And now that has come to a standstill. So how much does interaction with zoo-goers play into an animal's daily engagement? And are the zookeepers seeing more positive or negative outcomes of fewer crowds at the zoo when it comes to what they've noticed in animal behavior?
Well, Well, I was recently at the zoo just checking on things and took a ride around the zoo in my golf cart. And I noticed that there are a number of animals, especially like elk or caribou and some birds that were up more close to the railings and things, the perimeters of their exhibits, more so than they would probably be if there were a lot of people there. Also, I stopped by the otters, and the otters were lonesome because they saw me coming. And they began swimming and running and chasing just as they do with kids on a normal basis. So, yes, some I think are more comfortable without the people. Some are less comfortable and really looking for some activity in front of them.
Yeah, you mentioned being lonesome. And when it comes to animals being lonely or even depression, you know, how do you recognize that in your animals? And how is this addressed? How are zookeepers trying to keep the animals that rely on socialization, how are they keeping that engagement up to the best of their ability?
Well, they're very involved in what we refer to as enrichment activities. We're licensed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and one of the requirements is that we have an enrichment program, especially for those highly intelligent animals, great apes and other primates. But the keepers have, whether it's toys that we've provided, puzzles for feeding, putting things inside of something so an animal must, you know, shake it or roll it or reach into it to get something out. So there are those types of things. For the big cats and some other animals, the keepers have a selection of colognes and perfumes that they can go and spray around the exhibit so that the animal needs to get around and they explore and find out where that odor is coming from. So they do a lot of things that way to just make sure that the animals are active. We also have a significant training program that the animals are trained just to help with their husbandry, to get on a scale or to allow for a hand injection rather than using dart guns or something along that line. So keepers are very active in training and in doing enrichment programs right now.
You mentioned some animals are dealing with the social isolation a little better than others. And I'm curious, is there a difference in the wild than the domesticated and zoo animals born in the facility? And what kind of care is involved for those differences during this time when they're reacting differently to less visitors?
Well, I think that most of our exhibits provide a good stimulating environment for the animals psychologically and physically. And that's the most important part. Just because an animal has been born in captivity or in human care doesn't mean that they've really forgotten their instincts. We still, through, as I mentioned, enrichment and other things, have stimulated those animals to have as much natural behavior as possible. A good example would be our elephants, for instance. Elephants are browsers, and they love to go into wooded areas, and they pull down branches and eat the branch and the leaves and things. And to simulate that, we have feeding structures that have hay bags hanging from them, and the elephant has to stretch to reach those to pull that out. So it's something that they would do typically in the wild, and then in the here at the zoo, we've simulated that in a way, but it's a little bit different, but still the same behavior.
When it comes to the daily challenges of taking care of and especially feeding animals, I'm curious if your change supply has been affected. I imagine everything from specialized food to salt water or even repairs for any machinery that are keeping your habitats running smoothly is essential to keep the zoo running and the animals happy.
Well, it certainly is. Our commissary supervisor was ahead of the game. When they started announcing closures and issues with the COVID-19 virus, he had made sure that he placed orders. So right now we have at least a 6-month supply of all the animal food that would be required. That is except for fresh produce. And we haven't had any issues with that. If you've been to the grocery store lately, you'll see that the produce section is still well stocked in most grocery stores. So we're able to capitalize on that. But on the other side, commercially prepared diets and those meat and fish diets We ordered and made sure that we had enough on supply for at least 6 months.
What are any of the items in those specialty food supplies that stick out to you?
Well, certainly meat and fish. Those are things that I know there's been a concern about lately here that grocery stores are having a difficult time getting supplies of particular types of meat and fish. We don't use the same things that you buy in the grocery store. Our meat product, a little bit different, so that supply has really remained steady. Other things are probably things that we would feed for treats, occasionally watermelon or a cantaloupe, some specialty fruit, grapes and things like that. We try to make sure that our diets have a great variety for them because that's a highlight in an animal's day. So we have a great diet. Our veterinarians are in charge of nutrition and make sure that a diet's not only palatable and tasty, but it's nutritious at the same time.
Well, the zoo is also such a fun and interactive experience when people are there. But obviously, we don't have the public entering this place. But how are you still trying to educate people, and especially children who normally could go to the zoo with school on a field trip to learn about the animals to see, to interact? How are you trying to stay connected with your public?
Well, we can never replace virtual reality, that hands-on experience that comes with a field trip to the zoo. But we do have several things on the social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We have regular information that goes out on that. We also have on our website some things that are more interactive. We have several webcams that you can still see the animals as they're moving around in their exhibits. And the Zoological Society on their website, the educational program department has created several things that people can download and use as activities at home.
When it comes time to reopen, what kind of things are you considering? You know, whether it be a phased reopening of certain areas and enclosures, is there any concern or thought that the animals could be overwhelmed by another sudden influx of people after such a period of time when there's so little interaction?
Well, our plan is to open in three different phases. As soon as we get the permission to reopen from the city of Milwaukee and their health department and their program that they have out there, we will start very slowly. The first phase involves with just opening up the zoo grounds themselves. The buildings would be closed, just outdoor exhibits. Along with that, all tickets would be ordered online. We would have timed entry along with that so that people would not crowd. And initially, we'll limit that number of people on grounds to about 1,500 to 2,500. Just start off slow. The zoo has an easy capacity of 12 to 15,000 people. So we would start off at about 10% of that. And then with the second phase, we would certainly increase that to probably as many as 6,000 people. And then following that, we could go to normal operations.
Many zoos around the nation and around the world have been sharing some of the new things that they're letting their animals do, such as penguins explore the shed aquarium. And I know your penguins have visited various enclosures. Have there been any other animal field trips, so to speak, that your zookeepers are enjoying?
I did see one of our iguanas was walking through the aquarium and reptile center. And he was walking by some aquariums, and we don't think he's ever seen fish before. So he'd stop and look and study it for a while and then walk on. So, yes, we have a few animals who have taken a couple of field trips in various places, but nothing really extreme at this point.
So, obviously, it's important to take care of all the animals, but how are your human zookeepers doing managing all of this?
I would say most people are handling it pretty well. We have a number of non-keeper staff that is working from home or remotely. The keepers have a week of silly activities going on right now. One was Hat Day, and then others are There's a series of different things they're doing just to keep the boredom away, because they're not interacting with people. Keepers just don't take care of the animals. They enjoy telling people, visitors, about their animals and answering questions. And so they definitely miss that. So they're trying to entertain themselves a little bit right now.
Well, I know myself and many other people in the Milwaukee area appreciate all of your efforts and look forward to the time when we can visit the zoo in person again.
Oh, we can't wait for that either, Aubrey.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Chuck. I appreciate your time.
No problem. Anytime at all.
Chuck Wickenhauser is the director of the Milwaukee County Zoo, and he spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.